At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Ha cha 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 cha.
It all began on this quiet street, in this quiet house, because they believed.
Where are we going?
Off to Neverland.
Neverland?
All it takes is a little bit of pixie dust.
There it is, Wendy. Second star to the right, and straight on till morning.
Peter, it's just as I've always dreamed it would be.
Finally releasing from the Disney Vault, Walt Disney's classic Peter Pan for the first time on a two-disc Platinum Edition DVD.
Amazing!
I'll get you, Walt's Pan, if it's the last thing I do!
Anything can happen. With a little pixie dust. Walt Disney's classic Peter Pan, for the first time on a two-disc Platinum Edition DVD. Newly restored with Disney-enhanced 5.1 surround sound and a treasure chest of bonus features. Believe. Now available on Disney DVD.
Hello and welcome to the 84th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, Dave Janemike, and today I'm joined once again by Kevin Optimusolo Thompson. Hello, sir.
What up?
And making yet another appearance here on Tooncast is the rising star herself, Tara. Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Today we are going to be going back into the Disney Vault and talking about Peter Pan.
Yes, we are.
Yes, yes, we are.
Pan the man.
Yes. And everyone in the chat room is all codfish.
Nice.
What have you been up to, Kevin?
Oh, let's see. The latest things I've been doing over at Behind the Voice Actors, I've been adding some more classic cartoons to the likes of, let's see, the last five or six shows I've added have been Beverly Hills Teens from the 80s, Maya the Bee, The Funky Phantom, Groovy Ghoulies, Galaxy High School. I had added the Spaceballs animated series a little bit ago, so I've been trying to add a few more classic shows over there, and other than that, not a whole lot in the internet world.
Yeah. What about you, Tara? Didn't you just come off of, like, one of the worst conventions?
Oh, my God, yes. I went to a convention in downtown Toronto called DTAC, and it was just awful. It was just... There was, like, nothing going on. The staff were so rude. People were great, though, but the staff were just like, you can't take pictures here. You can't stand here. Wah, 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 like.
What is DTAC?
It's the December Toronto Anime Con.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so it was just a fail. I didn't enjoy it at all. I seriously doubt I'll be going back next year, but, like, I usually like Anime Con, so, you know, this one was just not doing it for me.
How many people attend something like that?
This one, there was probably, like, 200, 300 people.
Oh, okay.
Which is, like, it's, like, not a normal size con. It's more maybe, like, it's, like, a small average convention. So it was a lot of people. Like, it was packed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But the staff was bags of douche.
Yes, the staff were bags of douche. And, yeah, I hope they hire nicer people the next time I go back there.
Gotcha. Do they get any people involved with anime there, or is it just basically...
Yes, they do, yeah. Today we got to meet Mike McFarland. And I believe he's done a lot of voice acting and producing and writing for shows. I believe he worked on Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Z Kai.
That sounds
right. Not 100% sure, but he was talking about a lot of his experiences with that and doing some Q&A. And I was sitting in the back and I was taking photos and I was recording some video because I'll be providing a video on my YouTube channel about the last two conventions I went to.
I see.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, Mike McFarlane, we actually have over 118 credits for him over at Behind the Voice Actors, so he's done quite a few things.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
Yes, and I would like to apologize to any of the listeners, whether you are in the live broadcast for Ustream or if you're listening to this after we've recorded it. There's nothing I can do about the thumping music in the background because it's my friggin' downstairs neighbors that don't know how to use fucking volume control.
Oh, God.
Mike enjoys it.
Of course, they have to play just horrible music anyways, so.
That's even better.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Almost like what you usually
play. Hey, at least they're not playing Hannah Montana.
I would actually rather listen to Hannah Montana than the rap bass crap that they're listening to now.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Is it like weird? It's like the weird rap.
Yeah. It's like nothing but bass so they can vibrate the building to death or something. Hell, the building is like 60-something years old. You vibrate it one too many times and it's going to collapse.
They probably say the same thing when you're jamming out to Stan Bush.
See, that, you know, honestly, that's the thing, and I really don't want to get a tear on this for this episode, but that's the thing. I don't really play loud music at all. I really don't. I just don't. I mean, I play music at a volume where only I can hear it.
Yeah, I hate loud music, but one time I was in an apartment and I had the downstairs neighbors complain, and I think it was just because they set their bedroom up right below where I had my computer, but it's like, I'm not playing it loud. Like, I can barely hear it, and I hate loud music, but I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. It's screwed up. So I guess we should get into the history lesson. Take it away, Professor.
All righty then. Peter Pan, that's who we're talking about. It is a 1953 American animated film produced by, wouldn't you know it, Walt Disney, and based on the play Peter Pan or The Boy Who Wouldn't Grow Up by J.M. Barrie. It is number 14 in the Walt Disney Animated Classics series and was originally released on February 5th, 1953. And like most of the movies we've talked about in this version of the Spotlight, it was released by RKO Pictures. Peter Pan is the final Disney animated feature released through RKO before Walt Disney's founding of its own distribution company, Buena Vista Distribution. Later in 1953, after the film was released, Peter Pan also became the final Disney film in which all nine members of Disney's Nine Old Men, which I've referenced a couple times in previous episodes, worked together as directing animators. So, Mike, when was the first time you saw Peter Pan, or what do you remember about it?
It had to have been when I was a kid. It had to have been, I don't know.
Still are. Nothing wrong with that.
If anyone can see the camera for Ustream, I'm flipping Kevin off on the camera.
Nobody knows what camera
it is. nice, Mike.
Yeah, exactly.
When did it become a bad thing to still be a kid?
No, it's not.
Kid at heart.
I never said it was, but I'm just saying that I think that when I first saw this, I was, I don't know, maybe 7, 8.
See, I thought it was apropos since it was Peter Pan to make a comment about you not growing up.
Oh.
Or making
Continue.
These jokes.
I really liked it. I thought it was a nice story at the time. It's funny. This is another one of those ones where I don't have a very vivid memory of seeing it. I mean, I remember seeing the film, but it's not like once we get to, and I'm jumping ahead here, but once we get to Robin Hood, which is, I believe it's episode 86, I have a very, very vivid, fond memory of watching that film. Whereas this one, much like Alice in Wonderland, I don't really, I mean, I remember seeing it as a kid and I remember enjoying it, but it's not something that's like stuck in my brain.
That's good. I'd hate for it to be stuck in there. Trying to get out.
Oh, God. What about you, Tara?
Well, Peter Pan was probably one of my earlier films as well. I probably watched it when I was around 5 or 6 years old. And what I remember the whole pirates. That's what I remember, because I liked pirates for some reason growing up. So I remember the pirates. I remember Hook and Pan, which were two of my favorite characters from Peter Pan. And I just remember that. I don't remember too much of it because I didn't really understand it when I was little. But I think, like, now when I was getting ready for the recording and I went back and watched it, I understood it more now than I did when I was younger. So it was a good film. I have no complaints about it. I liked it.
There we go. I don't really remember. I know I saw this as a kid probably a couple different times, but like Mike said, it definitely was not one of those that I was dying to watch over and over again. Kind of like he said with Alice in Wonderland and the first Disney movie and a few of those early classics that I just don't care about. I mean, maybe I'm just jaded because I've seen so much better stuff since then, but a lot of the Disney classics just aren't my favorite. Dumbo, Bambi, and like I said, Alice in Wonderland and this one. So, I mean, I remember watching it a few times and I probably was entertained, but it's just not one that it wouldn't rank at the top of my list.
Yeah.
And I'd like to point something out. Normally, I don't do this. Normally, I don't let people in on some of the behind-the-scenes stuff for some of our podcasts. But in the Ustream chat here, Alex mentions Michael Jackson's Neverland, or mentions Michael Jackson as a kid. And I have to read you guys this because it's just – I found it hilarious. In the 84th episode, Mike, Tara, and Kevin fly off to Neverland. No, not that Neverland. The one with the pirates and the Lost Boys.
I'm still confused which Neverland we're talking about. No, I'm just kidding.
Ow.
So it just doesn't have the monkey. Okay, gotcha.
Ooh. Oh, that's bad.
Or the amazing, cool amusement park rides that Michael Jackson built.
That's true.
Oh, jeez.
That's one way to say it.
I'd want that.
Wow.
Have my own amusement park? What kid wouldn't want that?
You know, it's funny you mention that, and this is way off topic of Peter Pan, but remember those old McDonald's commercials of the kids having the McDonald's built on the back of their house?
Oh, no. I remember that.
Kevin, you don't remember those?
No, I don't know why, but no.
God.
But like really old McDonald's commercials.
Yeah.
I just remember the ones where all the Happy Meal characters were live actor in costumes that kind of disturbed me.
Yeah.
Mike, does comparing the two Neverlands, does that fill our quota for being perverted jerk-offs in this episode?
Well, it's funny you mentioned this, and you didn't. I don't know if you've checked Twitter at all today, but I posted to you and Tara. I took a screen cap off of the first film, and technically Tinkerbell is a porn star. Because
so if we didn't get it with the Michael Jackson reference, we just got it with the Tinkerbell porn star reference.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason why I say that is because the whole time she's trying to get out of the little keyhole, at one point it actually shows her panties.
It does. It is a little risque.
Yeah.
Oh, Tinkerbell.
She's a freaky deaky.
Oh God! Yeah, we are so getting like way.
How'd that go, Waltman XP?
Oh God! Yeah, really.
You like that one? Anyway.
Yeah, but it's like ever since we've started this podcast, and it's been going 2 years. It's like almost every episode we have to top ourselves with references now,
especially
and it's not just because of Waltman. It's just because.
Yeah. It's fun stuff.
Yes, very fun stuff. So I think we're going to put Tara to work, and she's going to take care of some of the characters / voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All right. So sweet. So first off, we have Bobby Driscoll as Peter Pan, the boy who never grows up. Like Tinkerbell, he can be hot-headed, he's commanding, but very brave. He can also be kind of mean at times, laughing at Wendy, at the mermaids, as the mermaids nastily tease her. Though despite this, he is caring, especially when it comes to Tinkerbell's safety. He finds enjoyment in fighting Captain Hook, no surprise there, and was responsible for the loss of his left hand. On to Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell, a hot-headed pixie and Peter Pan's closest friend, she's very envious of the relationship formed between Wendy and himself. Her jealousy causes her to have Wendy nearly stoned to death and eventually even tell Captain Hook Pan's hideout, tricked into thinking his intention is to capture Wendy, not Peter. When she realizes what she has done, she tries her best to warn Peter of a bomb Hook has left for him addressed as if from Wendy. Unfortunately, Peter won't hear of it, and she manages to push the bomb away from him the very moment it explodes, thus rescuing Peter's life courageously, almost at the cost of her own life. When Peter searches for her desperately in the ashes, she reflects a change of attitude towards Wendy and the boys, telling him he must rescue them first from Captain Hook's ship. Of course, he rescues her first. Towards the end, Tink helps the darling children return home by sprinkling pixie dust all across the pirate ship Peter Pan has just inherited, now to be called Captain Pan. Next, we got Catherine Beaumont as Wendy Darling. The eldest of the darling children adores Peter Pan. She is 12 years old, turning 13, which is what drives her moody father to move her out of the nursery so she may mature. She is a very feminine character with somewhat motherly care for others. She reminds the Lost Boys of their own mothers. She was the first one of the darling children to ask to return home. She has a soft spot for Peter and envies the attention he pays Tiger Lily. She has reason to dislike Tinkerbell, but thinks her lovely anyway. Namely, after the latter calls her a big, ugly girl. She has a very tame personality, wanting the best for everyone and grudging no one, even when the mermaids tease her nastily. She worries about the danger of their teasing more than their nastiness itself. She is naive, wise, and mature, and very trusting and faithful to her standards of conscience. Next up, we got Paul Collins as John Darling, one of Wendy's two younger siblings. The older Darling's son, he is 8 years old and acts very mature for his age in a sophisticated way unnatural to his age group. He is an analyzing thinker and good at strategy. For instance, when he takes lead over the Lost Boys in capturing Indians and in fighting the pirates on board the ship. He wears large black glasses and is tall and slim. It is interesting to note that all the Darling children wore their nightgowns to Neverland, but he added a black top hat and an umbrella, showing exaggerated maturity. Tommy Lusk as Michael Darling, the youngest Darling child of the three, about 4 years old. He carries a teddy bear with him and is very sensitive. He is also a little clumsy, yet very playful. And then we have Hans Conried as George Darling, the Darling children's father. He's a very moody and dramatic figure. In the beginning of the film, he is called a practical man. He's had enough of the boys listening to Wendy's imaginary tales about Peter Pan, and in a moment of frustration, he demands that Wendy's room be parted from the boys' room, saying she has to grow up. He is easily irritated at the mere mention of Peter Pan and expresses his dislike in a rage of temper. However, when cooled down in the end of the film, he changes his mind about Wendy's crazy stories. He later remarks having seen a pirate ship such as Peter Pan's when he was very young himself. In contrast to his moody outbursts, he is gentle at heart when he punishes the children by taking Nana the dog outside. He feels sorry for her and soothes her to comfort her. Heather Angel as Mary Darling, the Darling children's mother. She is much calmer and more understanding of her daughter's stories than her husband is, even though she takes them with a pinch of salt, saying Peter Pan is the spirit of youth. When her husband is overwhelmed with frustration at the children, she tries to soothe him and later on assures the children that their father doesn't really mean what he says when he is angry, and that he truly loves them very much, which is true. She is a wise, lovely woman and kind at heart. Next up, we have Nana, the Darling's nursemaid, a Saint Bernard dog. Originally, it was a Newfoundland dog. She is an unnatural dog, taking care of the Darling children and cleaning up after their continuous messes. She is very sufficient at her work and possesses much tolerance to the messes she must cope with. She is the family Darling's pet, a general favorite, so much that separating her from the children for one night was considered a great punishment. Hans Conried as Captain Hook, the antagonist of the film, a pirate captain who seeks revenge on Pan for having his left hand chopped off and fed to the crocodile in fair battle. He is a dangerous villain with no conscience to recommend him, yet is dependent on his personal assistant, Mr. Smee. He also turns out to be very childish in his fear of the crocodile which wants to devour him. Then we have Bill Thompson as Mr. Smee, Hook's personal assistant and the comic relief in the story. Mr. Smee is always being bossed around by Hook. The frustrated and bored crewmen tease him by belly jabbing, locking him up in a treasure box, tied, hooking his shirt on the wall, and throwing darts at almost his belly.
Smee's a drunk.
He is definitely a drunk. And I am taking a breath.
Yes. Wow. I think that's the most character description we've done in about 20 episodes. yeah, let's just give some of our thoughts on some of these characters. Kevin, who did you like the best out of the ones so far that we've talked about or that she's read about?
Geez, do I have to pick any?
You don't like them?
No, I don't really care for any of the characters in this movie.
Really?
I especially, I guess Wendy's all right. I could care less for John. I really don't like the older brother. The younger brother's okay. I kind of like him. You know, he's cute. He carries a teddy bear around, whatever. And I kind of like Tinkerbell, even though she's emo. But I don't know. They're just all, I don't dislike most of them except for the older brother, but I don't, there's just nothing about them that I just overly like.
See, this is an episode where we're probably going to disagree.
Oh, one episode that we're going to disagree on?
We haven't disagreed on a lot of character stuff the last couple episodes, so.
Yeah.
I like the brothers better than Wendy herself, because the brothers, to me, even though they're two different characters, they were ready to have, like, John, he was ready to have the adventures. He was ready to have an open mind about having, you know, the adventures and fighting pirates and all that, so. I like that about him. And then Michael, kind of the same, but he's a little bit on the more innocent side. So they're all right.
Do you really, like, love any of these characters?
Probably Hook and the – not only the character itself, but, like the relationships that the characters have with each other, like Hook and the Crocodile. That's just hilarious.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't dislike them. I like all the characters, but none of them are like, I don't know. I don't love any of them, I guess is the thing. There's nothing special about any of them. They're all just okay. They're all fine. Except for the Lost Boys. I hate the Lost Boys.
There's too many characters.
Yeah. The only characters I dislike are the Lost Boys.
I don't mind them. I actually kind of like them because they provide more mischief, and they always, like, a perfect example is, of course, you know, the emo porn star fairy, you know, tells them a lie, and they basically just straight out follow it. But I mean, they're all right. They're not the best characters, but they're not like the worst character in a Disney film.
Yeah, like I said, nobody's great in this as far as characters go. And I'm not trying to, like, hate on them, because I'm not saying that there's not ones that I just, like, hate with a passion. It's just, I don't know, I just don't find any of them, like, just exhilarating or, like, none of them stuck with me after I saw it. It's not like some characters where I think about them every now and then, you know, just because they're always they imprinted in my head when I saw the movie when I was young or something like that.
Yeah, I gotta say, a dog is a nurse bait. I know dogs are really smart, but give me a break.
That was weird. I have to admit, that was the weirdest thing that bugged me about that whole movie was the dog.
And the other weirdest thing that I didn't notice this until now. Technically, the father is Captain Hook.
Yeah.
Because it's the same guy that does both voices. And I when I was watching it back earlier before the recording, I was like, hey, wait a second. That's Captain Hook. What the... And
yeah.
I think it would have been a really, really weird twist if they had made the... Like, have Captain Hook as the father's alter ego. I don't think they would have taken it that dark, but I thought that would have been a really weird and interesting twist.
Yeah. There is an interesting twist voice acting-wise, because... like we said in the last episode, Catherine Beaumont, who was Wendy Darling, was also Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
But Heather Angel, who plays Mary Darling, which is Wendy's mom, played Alice's sister.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they were sisters in Alice in Wonderland, their mom and daughter in Peter Pan. So that's kind of interesting.
Yes.
I mean, you know what? For me, in terms of the characters, I love Pan.
He's all right.
I think out of all of them, I just really liked Peter.
If I had to pick a favorite, I'd probably say Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell?
Because she's kind of risque. No, just kidding.
Oh, jeez.
No, she's moody.
It's a good thing that the kids of today do not know of Tinkerbell's risque history.
That's right.
Don't know once I post that picture on Facebook.
Yeah. We should mention some of the other voice actors that played minor characters because they're kind of famous.
June Foray
as Squaw and Candy Candido as the Indian Chief, and Candy Candido did a ton of stuff for Disney back in the day. So they were the Indian Chief and the mom and dad, basically, of, I guess if you want to say it like that, is of Tiger Lily. But other than that, really, Bill Thompson was probably the most famous voice actor, the one that did Mr. Smee.
Yeah.
Yeah, and shall I continue with our list of...
No, let's just pick favorites and least favorites.
Yeah, we don't need to read the rest, I guess.
Like I said, Tinkerbell is easily my favorite, and if I have to pick a least favorite, I'll just put all the Lost Boys together.
I have to agree with you on that. Lost Boys. Didn't like them.
Old Cubby and Nibs and Slightly and Twins. The Twins, I just didn't care for them.
I'm cheating. Peter Pan, easily.
I can see that.
Easily.
That's not cheating. What are you talking about? That's not cheating.
Well,
it's always cheating to pick the main character.
If you've listened to some of the past episodes, we always say we're going to cheat and pick the main character because majority of the time in most of the cartoons, especially the ones that we've talked about here on TuneCast, majority of the time, there are most of the main, like the main protagonists, are pretty awesome characters. There have only been
meant to be your favorite,
huh?
And they're written to be your favorite.
Okay, yeah. Well, I guess that's cheating then.
No, but we do cheat. We do cheat.
Yeah, we cheat.
Who's your least favorite, Mike?
Let's see, least favorite. Damn it.
I didn't need to put you on the spot there.
No, I'm trying to think here. Probably the mermaids, I guess. I don't know. They're just such ancillary characters. I mean, you don't really need them there. I mean, yeah, it moves the story along, but at first I didn't like Father Darling at first.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And I also thought that Mother Darling, she was like, you know, nose up in the air type of person.
Yeah, you kind of get that vibe out of her.
Yeah. But, I mean, other than that, in the context of the movie, I like almost all the characters. I don't dislike the Lost Boys. I think because the whole point for this movie is, and as we know this, and Kevin kind of pointed it out earlier, that, you know, it's about being a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, you have, with the Lost Boys, with John and Michael and Wendy and Peter and all these kids, you have every single different type of character of being a kid and going on adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true.
A little heavy on the males.
Well, yeah.
I mean, there might not be a lot of characters at the I don't know, I'm not a female, but I think it's easier for a male to relate to this movie.
Yeah,
I'll have to agree with you on that. Female, I'll give some the female perspective on this film. It clearly was not aimed for girls.
Yeah, I mean, you got Wendy or Tinkerbell.
Yeah, I mean, you got Wendy, who, like, you know, all you really see her do in that film is get captured by Captain Hook.
Yeah,
and kind of be the damsel in distress, if you will. She's not a heroine at all.
No.
So, I mean, of course, it was not aimed at... they were not aiming at females watching this.
No,
they were aiming at boys and men.
Right.
Which, there's nothing wrong with that, but
yeah.
That's just the reality of it.
Right, yeah.
But that's not to say that females won't like it. I mean, I liked it, and I'm a girl, so...
True. Just not as easy to relate to one of the actual individual characters.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I could not relate to Wendy at all.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. I relate to her. I relate to that to her daughter in the sequel more than I relate to Wendy.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll throw that out. just saying that.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on any of the characters or the voice actors by anybody?
I don't think there was any voices that I didn't dislike. I mean, they're all so different. I mean, it's not like where you have, it's not like where you have someone trying to do a bad impression of a character.
Right.
Every character was their own voice. It wasn't like you're trying to copy something from something else.
Which is kind of impressive given the number of youngsters that were involved in the voice cast.
Yeah.
I mean, almost every single character was actually done. All the characters that are kids in the movie were done by kids, basically.
Right, yeah.
The only adult characters are the ones that are adults, like Captain Hook and Mr. Smee and the mom and dad and the Indian chief and Squaw. Like, Peter Pan and all the Lost Boys and Wendy Darling and her brothers are all done by kids.
Yeah. I absolutely loved the whole exchange, and I'm kind of getting into plot, but the whole exchange with the Lost Boys and Peter and the chief of you know, talking like Indians. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, probably not looked on so great these days, though.
Well,
I mean, I'm just saying the Indian interaction in the movie would probably be frowned upon these days.
Well, yeah, but again, Tooncast is about nostalgia. It's not about what, you know.
Oh, yeah.
What's right and what's not
just
right.
Just saying stuff that they probably wouldn't get away with now.
Yeah. Probably not. Because as I mentioned in episode 82, as I've mentioned in other episodes, censorship.
Yeah, very much so. So let's get into the behind-the-scenes stuff. Outside of Bill Peet, I don't recognize anybody.
You should.
What?
Well, you should, because Ted Sears and Joe Rinaldi have shown up on the last three episodes.
Well.
But, you know, like we said in the opening, this was the last one done by the animators that had done most of these Disney movies up to this point, so that's why the animation from Peter Pan on back looks so similar and kind of has that same stylistic feel to it. I will mention that one of the directors, Hamilton Lusky, was the father of the voice actor of Michael Darling. So he got his son a gig on this one. But actually his son also worked in Alice in Wonderland as one of the flowers. So a little Disney connection there. But yeah, besides J.M. Barrie, who wrote the original play, or Sir James M. Barrie, and Ted Sears and Bill Peet and Joe Rinaldi, I don't recognize too many of the people that had a hand in the writing.
Yeah, I don't either at all.
I definitely won't.
some background on how they went about making Peter Pan, though, as far as behind the scenes go. They'd actually been trying to buy the film rights to the play by Barrie for quite a good number of years, almost 20 years. And he came to an arrangement originally with this hospital in London who Barrie had given the rights to the play. And he basically started the development. Actually, back in the 40s, Peter Pan was supposed to be a follow-up to Bambi.
Oh.
But the Second World War, like we kind of talked about with Alice in Wonderland, forced it to be put on, or Pinocchio forced it to be put on hold. So that's why some things changed between that original draft. Like if you got some character designs and like pictures of stuff that was originally written for or mapped out for Peter Pan, it would look much different than what it finally, you know, was in the final version. The original version actually had Nana go to Neverland with Pan and the Darling children and had a much darker ending. So it wasn't until after the war that all that was changed.
See, because I don't remember, it's literally, but like I missed out on getting the two-disc DVD that, and I'll talk about that later, but last year they had released another Platinum Edition for Pan, and I missed out on getting the DVD. Before I watched this, before recording this episode, I haven't seen this movie in at least 20 years. And I could have sworn when a lot of the pixie dust was coming down on Nana, I could have sworn she was gonna float up and follow them.
Yeah. Another
that
interesting.
That would have been cool if she did.
Yeah, that would have been kind of cool. Another interesting thing about this behind-the-scenes stuff is that you might notice if you look at pictures of the voice actors, they very much so resemble the characters because in this movie they actually used the voice actors, or some of the voice actors in some cases they got other people, but to stand basically as a live-action reference model to the people that were drawing the characters. Probably the best two examples of this are Bobby Driscoll, who was Peter Pan, and Catherine Beaumont, who are Wendy Darling, because they were basically the live-action reference, and that's why they look almost identical to their characters.
Mm.
Obviously, for Tinkerbell, they had to get somebody completely different because there's not really a voice actor, so to speak. So they had a lady named Margaret Kelly be the live-action reference model. But I thought that was kind of neat, and I'd never kind of realized that until I looked side-by-side with Bobby Driscoll and Peter Pan that they look a lot alike. But I find that interesting.
That's very interesting. Didn't they do that in other Disney films, like Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah, they did do that other times too, but we haven't mentioned it so far in the Disney Spotlight, so I kind of wanted to make sure we mentioned it since we didn't before.
Yeah,
I don't think we mentioned it with Sleeping Beauty and a few of the others.
Yeah, and the other thing is there was a rumor that Marilyn Monroe was the model for
Tinkerbell.
I heard that. I remember reading that.
But that was not true.
No. She would have looked a lot differently if she was, wouldn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That looks nothing like Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, there would be longer hair and more boob.
Oh, geez, then it would really be a porn star.
And there'd be more wind in the movie.
She'd have a mole somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
That's all I got for behind the scenes.
Yeah. I guess I'll summarize the plot since it's been a while since I've done the plot summary, and I'm sure Kevin's getting tired of doing it.
About time you did some work. I'm just kidding.
Shut the hell up. It's my show. I put the schedule together. I don't get a lot of the scripts nowadays. But anyways,
control freak.
Just shut up.
Now YouTube. Very nice.
Go ahead.
We'll kind of get into the differences between the film and the play a little bit later, but the basic plot is Wendy tells her brothers all these stories of Peter Pan and everything else, and she's stolen his shadow, and he comes to get his shadow and takes her to Neverland, meets Hook, and just, it's a whole convoluted story, I think. I don't know if it was paced enough that well. I don't know if it's too fast or too slow, but basically you have Hook who tricks Tinkerbell, and I don't know. I'm jumping all over the place. This is why I have Kevin do this crap.
Oh.
Make Kevin do all the work.
Damn well. Yeah,
well, basically first he captures Tiger Lily.
Yep.
And gets her to try to give away the location. So basically, you have Captain Hook and his pirates with Tiger Lily trying to find Pan. Then you have Pan and the Lost Boys and the Darling Kids, which aren't all together at the same time, but they're trying to explain to the Indian chief and whatnot that they don't have her, and it's basically that's why you're saying it's convoluted, because you have a lot of different things happening at once and everybody's in a different area.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually you have three different groups. So you have Hook and the pirates with Tiger Lily, you have the Lost Boys and the two brothers, and then you have Peter and Wendy off on their own talking to mermaids and doing stuff like that, which was kind of like my least favorite part of the entire movie.
Didn't care for that part either.
Yeah. But eventually, Peter and Wendy free Tiger Lily, and then Hook resorts to trying to trick Tinkerbell, because Tinkerbell's been jealous of Wendy the whole time for how much attention Peter Pan pays to her. So then you have that dynamic of like the little love triangle, even though one of them's a fairy. And to make a long story short, eventually we have the showdown with Hook and Peter Pan. We got bombs going off, and we got everybody ending up back in the real world, and the Lost Boys deciding that they should stay in Neverland, and then the parents come home, and it's basically been just that night, and they don't have a clue what's happened, even though it's kind of inferenced that Mr. Darling had a similar adventure when he was a kid.
Yeah. The one problem I have with this movie is I know it's a kids movie. I know it's supposed to be all kids fun games, but the one problem I have with this movie is when they fire the cannonballs at Peter and all that stuff, they don't ever actually show the destruction of the cannonballs after Pan dodges them. They don't ever actually show where they land. So it's like, cannonballs in space.
Yeah, there's just a lot of different parts throughout that plot that kind of don't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's kind of convoluted. If it was, I don't know, there's too many broken up groups. If it focused more on just the Lost Boys and that group with the brothers and stuff as a story, but when they go off to the mermaid, I don't think that's necessary. I almost don't think the whole Tiger Lily and the Indians are necessary. Like, I think it would have been better if Hook and Peter Pan would have captured one of the kids originally, or captured Tinkerbell originally, or just had it amongst them. I don't see the need or the necessity for the addition of the mermaids and the Indians.
I have to agree with that.
So I don't know. It seems like they tried to make it too complex, and not that it's necessarily complicated to follow, but it seems like it's unnecessary.
So what about the differences between the play and this? Because, I mean, were the Indians and the mermaid stuff, was that in the play or anything like that?
I'm not real super familiar with the play. I mean, obviously, like I said before, the main difference was that involving the darlings, because wasn't the mom, I think, more involved in the play? I think the mom was a little bit bigger part. And they return to the Lost Boys return to Neverland,
right?
And instead of staying, I don't know the play that much.
Well, according to this, let's see here. The Lost Boys are not adopted at the end by the Darlings, as in the play, television, and other film versions. They return to Neverland and stay there with Peter, never growing up. The Disney film also lightens the storyline by carefully eliminating all potentially tragic overtones of the story, even going so far as to have the darling children's absence from the nursery go completely unnoticed by their parents. In the original play and its 1954 musical version, after Wendy, John, and Michael go to Neverland with Peter, the parents are plunged into a period of mourning until the children return home.
Yeah, so apparently the play was a little darker.
Yeah.
And Disney dumbed it up a little bit and then added some mermaids and Indians, maybe?
Well, I don't know, because it's one of those things where I can see what you're saying, Kevin. The other thing is, I don't know if they would really, I mean, that they've done so many other risque films at this point. You've got, you know, that the movie that shall not be named ever again on this podcast. You've got that. You've got Pinocchio, which,
yeah,
you know, we've...
But this is also coming right off of when they get blasted for doing Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, people were not kind to them about that movie.
Yeah.
So maybe they were trying to not go quite that crazy with it, but
yeah. It's
kind of hard to say how Disney react. I mean, I'm not big on Walt Disney himself and how he reacted to things. I don't know his history as far as like what his personality would be, if he would just say, you know, screw you guys, I'm still doing what I want, or if he would actually cater to some of the critiques he received. I don't know.
I'm not surprised, to be honest.
Yeah. So it's hard to say. I mean, if there's someone out there that knows a lot about the play and can help us out, you know, and fill in some details, that'd be great. But I've never read the play, so I don't know.
Mm.
The movie didn't inspire me to go read the play.
I do know one. I believe it's the original play. I do know one thing. Peter Pan was J.R. Ewing's mother in the play.
Of course, this does give fuel to our iTunes reviewer who says we don't know anything about children's literature.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
But once again, we're not a literature podcast. We're a cartoon podcast.
Exactly. We're a cartoon podcast. There's a difference.
So apparently, you know, hopefully nobody else is confused by that. It does say Tooncast on the title. Anyway.
Yes, it does.
We do have some bits of trivia for you. Just like there is something that is exactly like the play version of it, and that is that the same actor performed the roles of both Mr. Darling and Captain Hook. So that obviously wasn't a coincidence. That's something that was intentionally done in both the play and the movie. The melody for The Second Star to the Right was originally written for Alice in Wonderland for a song that was to be called Beyond the Laughing Sky. So again, Disney reusing things or using things that they didn't get a chance to use in other movies. This is Bobby Driscoll's sixth Disney movie. The voice actor that did Peter Pan, most of his other roles were just bit roles. Second to the Right and Straight On Till Morning was changed into Second Star to the Right for the Disney version. Also, since the stage musical version with Mary Martin opened on Broadway in 1954, non-Disney versions have used the term Never Neverland as opposed to Neverland. So obviously some rights issues there, or trying to avoid suing or whatever. In the original play, Hook loses his right hand, but the Disney artist felt that that would limit his actions too much and switched it to his left hand. Okay. Though the film was extremely successful, Walt Disney himself was dissatisfied with the finished product. He felt that the character of Peter Pan was cold and unlikable, which I can see a little bit, but I didn't think he was cold necessarily. And of course, we have a goofy holler I don't know if you guys caught this, but it's heard during Captain Hook's fight with the crocodile inside the cave at Skull Rock when Smee accidentally hits Hook on his head with his rowboat oar. The goofy holler is partially obscured by gargling noises as Hook goes underwater after taking the hit. And in the original planned version, Nana traveled with the children in Neverland, like we said, and it also had a much darker ending. So I guess there's a few things you can look for, especially that goofy holler, if you want to watch it again.
Yeah, no, I didn't even catch it.
I didn't catch it either.
It in Cinderella.
Yeah, normally I can catch goofy hollers because I always laugh because I love the goofy holler, but...
Yeah,
I didn't catch it this time. Getting into the do we want to give like overall? I mean, we've kind of talked about the plot a little bit as far as what our thoughts of it are. But
you guys have a favorite part?
I like the fight between Captain Hook and Peter at the end.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool.
Even though I don't like the Lost Boys, I kind of like when they first meet the Darlings. And just kind of how you can see the interaction, how they're introduced. That's about the only time I like them. Other than that, I don't know if I have a favorite part. It all just kind of seems like the same to me. What about you, Mike? Maybe the walking the plank. I don't know.
Yeah, the walking the plank and the end scene as well, the end battle. But it's funny. I said before that I don't know how – I know, you know, animals are very smart, but I don't know how a dog could be considered a nursemaid. But I love the scene in the beginning where she keeps ending up knocking over all the blocks.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny, but probably the end scene as well, just the end.
What about a least favorite scene, the mermaids?
Yeah, the mermaids was so like the Indian stuff. That was fun. That was, at least to me, it was fun because they were supposedly playing games with the Indians. But the mermaid scene, it's like, hello, welcome to Disney's version of the Playboy Grotto.
Wow.
You felt it was unnecessary, eh?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
What about you, Tara? Did you have a least favorite scene?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with Mike on the mermaid.
We all three agree.
Yes.
Disney didn't do mermaids very well until 1989.
That's right.
I agree with that. Just, they were nasty. I didn't see a reason for them to be there.
No, not at all. What about the music for this film, Mike?
Yes, getting into the music segment. The songs in Peter Pan were composed by Sammy Fine? Fine? I don't know, whatever. Sammy Kahn, Frank Churchill, Winston Hibbler, and Ted Sears. Oliver Wallace composed the incidental music score as well. Some of these songs are okay. It isn't like everybody knows Painting the Roses Red. You know, I mean, that's just, everybody knows that song.
Or When You Wish Upon a Star, or...
Right, exactly. And it just doesn't... The music in this just doesn't seem to...
This is not one of Disney's best music soundtracks.
Not at all.
You have the second star to the right, You Can Fly, A Pirate's Life, Following the Leader, What Made the Red Man Red. There's controversy there. Your Mother and Mine, The Elegant Captain Hook, You Can Fly, Reprise, and Never Smile at a Crocodile. And honestly, I couldn't tell you how any of those sound.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree, because honestly, the soundtrack, it didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, this is one of the worst Disney soundtracks ever.
Yes.
Only song that I can say I actually enjoyed listening to in this film was A Pirate's Life.
Yeah. I mean, Mike, you'll have to agree that even the movie that will not be mentioned had better music than this.
Slightly, yeah.
I mean, you gotta like Whistle While You Work a little bit.
Okay, well, yeah.
Aw, you have to love Whistle While You Work.
Yeah, exactly. That song alone beat this entire movie. You gotta work on your
Whistle.
No, I'm just kidding. But even though that we're bashing the music a little bit, if you are a Disney music fan, apparently they thought that they had to put a song from this movie into their classic Disney 60 Years of Musical Magic, so it does contain the You Can Fly song on one of the discs, the second star to the right on the other disc, and Following the Leader on the third disc, and on Disney's Greatest Hits, You Can Fly is, and the second star to the right also appear, so I don't know if they really merit being on those discs, but they are.
Hmm.
Yes. I never liked their Disney compilations. I always I don't know. I'd rather create my own.
Good choice. Good idea.
Yeah.
Getting into the legacy segment. God, I'm not reading this first paragraph. I'm just.
Oh, we gotta go full circle.
No.
Read it.
Oh God.
I got you, Mike.
Oh, you know what? Seriously, though. You know, rest in peace, Michael Jackson. But Jesus Christ. Oh God.
Movie people. If you didn't know that already.
Michael Jackson had cited that Peter Pan as being his favorite movie of all time, from which he derived the name for his estate, Neverland Ranch in Santa Barbara. When he had a private amusement park, and which was the site of much controversy before he moved away in 2005, Ronald D. Moore, one of the executive producers and developer of the reimagined Battlestar Galactica, has cited this film as the inspiration for one of the recurring themes of the series concerning the cycle...
Cyclical?
Yeah, cyclical nature of time. There you go. The first line of the film, "All this has happened before and will happen again," has been featured prominently in the series as a piece of scripture often repeated by characters. The New York Times gave the film a very mixed review, praising the animation itself, but also declaring that the film was not really true to the spirit of the original Barry play. Time Magazine, perhaps surprisingly, not only gave the film highly favorable review, but also never mentioned the numerous essential plot changes that Disney made to the original play.
Oh. There's been a lot of stuff as far as legacy goes. I mean, you had the DVD releases, which we'll get into in a second. But you had a lot of merchandise. You have books. You have different parts of Walt Disney World, Disneyland, etc., like theme attractions you had. Ice shows, you had obviously the video games like we've mentioned in a couple of the other episodes, all the Kingdom Hearts series feature Peter Pan and Hook and Tinkerbell and a few of the other characters. What do you have to say about the DVD, though?
Two-disc Platinum Edition of the film in 2007. I would probably get that two-disc Platinum Edition film. You're probably going to have to find it on Amazon because I think it went back into the vault recently.
Of course.
But I mean...
Why wouldn't it go back in the vault?
Yeah.
I wish somebody could just blow up that damn vault.
I like the vault.
No, just don't.
Does the vault even exist? Like, yeah, honestly?
Yes, it's a real thing. No. No, I don't think it does.
I think it's just their way of saying that we are no longer printing this until the next anniversary.
Yes. Or you better get your butt down in the video store and buy it before it goes back into this imaginary vault.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Peter Pan could stay in the vault for all I care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an okay film. I mean, if you're just looking at it as a pure enjoyment and just wanting to be a child again, it's okay. But from a reviewer's standpoint, I would have to agree with you. But just, you know, from having just something fun to watch, it's fairly fun to watch, I guess. But I don't know.
It's okay. It's just not very rewatchable.
No, not really.
It's not something you're going to watch, like, every year.
Yeah. No. Not at all.
I didn't even think to watch this film until I found out I was going to be on the show.
Yeah, I mean, some Disney films I could literally watch over and over and never get tired of them, and some of them are coming up on our schedule, so I'm happy about that, because I've been depressed with our trilogy of Pinocchio, Peter Pan, and Alice in Wonderland, so I'm looking forward to some of the ones that I actually enjoy watching.
Yes. There's also the Disney Fairies series. There's also multiple Tinkerbell movies. Tinkerbell and her other porn star friends.
Apparently she has friends.
And of course the sequel.
Yes, there's Peter Pan 2 Return to Neverland. I know, Tara, did you like this one? Did you like
the sequel? I liked it. I liked the sequel more than I liked the original.
See, when I watched the sequel back, and I know, Kevin, did you watch the sequel or no?
It's a Disney animated sequel, and Cinderella did not make me ever want to watch one of those again.
Well, you have to watch the rest of the sequels, because I watched the sequels.
I didn't know this one existed, to be fair.
Liar.
No, I honestly didn't know.
It came out. It came out in, like, 2002, 2003, I believe. Yeah.
This one is... I was saying to Tara off-air before we started the recording that outside of some of the continuity bits, like Peter talking to Wendy at the end of the film, it's basically the exact same story as the first film, except it's Wendy's daughter Jane that goes to Neverland, and she only
the same age in Neverland.
Huh?
Did anybody grow up in Neverland, or are they all the same age?
No, they're all the same.
That would defeat the purpose.
Yeah, they're all the same. One thing I do want to bring up, since we are talking about this, and it's also a way for me to cross-promote, movie we can review, episode 74, which is a while ago now. We talked about the live-action Hook with Robin Williams and Dustin Hoffman.
Yes, I remember.
Amazing film. I loved that film.
Oh, I love Hook. I consider Hook to be more of a sequel to the first Disney animated Peter Pan than Return to Neverland.
I agree with that.
Hook was amazing. And it's not just because it was Steven Spielberg film. It just amazing.
Eh.
What?
Well done.
What do you mean, eh?
I guess maybe just the whole Peter Pan franchise is nothing I can ever get excited about.
No.
I mean, Robin Williams was cool and everything, but... Yeah, that movie did nothing for me.
Are you serious? That movie did nothing for you.
That's why I refused to be on the record with you when you did it.
Oh, I don't even remember.
Yes, you did.
I don't know.
But yeah, I just the whole story just does nothing for me. I don't know.
Why?
It just doesn't. It's Peter Pan. I could give
you've got all right, it. All right, but it's not. Hook is not the normal Pan story. Hook is not what the original Peter Pan Disney.
It is probably better than the original film.
Right, but the thing is, you know, Peter actually left Neverland. He grew up, and he became this tight ass lawyer. and you know, he has to go back and he has to learn everything all over again. And I'm sorry, just seeing Robin Williams in the pantsuit and seeing Dustin fucking Hoffman as Hook. Come on, you got to agree. That was pretty badass.
Yeah, those two guys were awesome. I love Dustin Hoffman. I love Robin Williams, but the story and the rest of the characters, meh.
I enjoyed that film immensely.
Yeah,
I know, most people like it. It's just not my cup of tea, I guess. Yeah. It's not Robin Williams' best role. That's by, and it's not Dustin Hoffman's.
No, it's not his best role, but it was.
But it's still pretty awesome.
Yeah, like I said, it's better than the original movie, so I'll give it that much. Yes.
So we're gonna go to some commercials and other random bits of audio. I guess I don't know. So.
He never knows what he's doing, folks.
No, I don't.
Tooncast will be back after these messages.
I go, 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 while listening to Tooncast.
Chief Quimby here, and your assignment is to listen to all the Geekcast Radio Network's podcasts.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Tooncast.
Over at geekcastradio.com, and I want you to listen to it because it's the world's first Beast Wars and Beast Machines review podcast. If you don't listen to it, I will send my vehicles to remove your sparks and destroy you. So, from now on, you will listen and tune into the Beast Unleashed.
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Now back to Toontest.
So, final thoughts on Peter Pan, Kevin the Hater Thompson.
Yes, I have got a new nickname. Oh, God, that smug son of a bitch. Anyway, hopefully somebody got that out there that was listening. Peter Pan, to me, is better than some Disney films, but, okay, I'll put it ahead of, like, Pinocchio, and I like it a little bit better, and I like Alice in Wonderland and a few like that, but it just doesn't do much for me. it does not hold a candle in comparison to the better Disney films, which in my mind came after these initial bunch. I get it. I like the idea of staying forever young, and I like the idea of having that kid mentality and whatnot. I just don't care for this movie that much. It was good once. I don't want to rewatch it.
This, for me, is something that is good, like, every 5 or 6 years. Like, once every so often.
I can see that.
What about you, Tara?
For me, I'm going to have to say it doesn't do much for me. Like, I enjoyed it, but it just, I'm not satisfied with this film.
Like, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, like, it's not something that, as I think one of you guys mentioned, that you're going to go run back and go watch it over and over again.
Yeah.
It was just, I'm going to borrow a term I hear my friend at school use. I'm going to say meh.
Yeah.
It was
That's
meh.
Definitely what it was. And I don't know if it's because, it might be for me because I'm big with music on Disney films. I have to have songs that I like in a Disney film. It's not like other movies where I care so much more about the story or the characters or whatever. For me, if a Disney film does not have songs that I absolutely want to hear over and over again, I'm not going to like that film.
Mm-hmm.
And this just doesn't have that. Like, everything's good or average, and nothing's great in this movie.
Yeah, I'm just not satisfied. I won't go watch it again.
So everybody is going to be thrilled about our review, and they're going to run out and watch Peter Pan.
Exactly. I mean, like I said before, though, I mean, if you're wanting to travel back to your childhood and you want to just act like a kid again and have those, like, adventure stories type of thoughts and just reminisce on what, you know, what kind of adventures you had as a kid, watching this film could probably trigger those memories. But as it goes in a Disney film, it's not – I agree with you guys. It's not something I could watch every other year or, you know, every other 2 years. Or it's not something that I just put into just for background noise at all.
Do you know what was better? Finding Neverland.
What?
Finding Neverland. That was a much better movie.
Oh. I've heard of it, but I don't remember it.
Johnny Depp?
Oh, Finding Neverland?
Yeah, that was a great movie.
I remember that film. That was pretty well done.
Anyway, go watch that instead of Peter Pan. That's my 2 cents. That's my favorite Peter Pan-esque type story, is Finding Neverland.
Okay, then.
Terry, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to, while my good friend Cody, it's his birthday on Christmas Eve. I just want to wish Cody happy birthday, man, if you're listening.
Happy birthday, Cody. I don't know you, but happy birthday.
Yes. And
happy birthday.
Actually, you probably planned that out really well, because this episode will air December 22nd.
She knows what she's doing.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, look at that. That's pretty awesome. All right, let's see here.
Let's wait for Mike to find his place.
Yeah, exactly.
You lost your place again?
No, I didn't lose my place again.
Just in his brain.
Yeah.
Aww.
Something stuck in it.
All right. Can't we all just get along?
Apparently not. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Crap.
What a moron. I'm sorry.
Well, if people would stop typing in the chat, visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCR and Tooncast. Mine is TFG and Mike. Kevin, what is your Twitter?
Boss K-Dog.
And Tara?
Tara Blair.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be reviewing in the Disney Spotlight the Lady and the Tramp franchise. For now, I am TFG on Mike with
Optimus Solo from BehindTheVoiceActors.com
and Rising Star 9109.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, yet another train wreck.
I still wanted to throw you under the bus because nothing had been talked in the chat window for like 10 minutes.
Blah, blah, blah. I meant Skype.
You're like, if people would stop typing, nothing, no one...
I meant Skype, you moron.
Oh, you said chat window.
You know what I meant, damn it.